The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Second Canto, Chapter Number 4, Text Number 23, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on June 24th, 2016, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhutai Mahadbi Iya Ima Pura Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yat Amushu Purusha Bhunkte Gunan Sodasha Sodasha Atmaka Sa Alankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsi Me Bhutai Mahadbir Yaima Puro Vibhur Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha
Nirmaya Shete
Bhunkte gunan sodadasha dashatmaka Salankrishishta Bhagavan jachangshime Bhutai mahadbir yaima puro vibhur Nirmaya shete yadamusha purusha Bhunkte gunan sodadasha dashatmaka Salankrishishta Bhagavan vachamsi me Bhunktair mahadbir yaima puro vibhur Nirmaya shete yadamusha purusha Bhunkte gunan sodadasha dashatmaka Salankrishishta Bhagavan vachamsi me Bhutai
by the elements
Mahadbi
of material creation
Ya he who Ima, all these, Mpura, bodies, Vibhu,
of the Lord,
Nirmaya,
for being set up,
Shete, lie down, Yat Amushu,
one who incarnated,
Purusha, Lord Vishnu, Bhunkte,
causes to be subjected,
Gunan, the three modes of nature,
Sodasha,
in 16 divisions,
Sodasha Atmaka,
being the generator of these 16,
Sa,
he, Alankrishishta, May decorate Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead.
Vachamsi
statements
may
mine.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the materially created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who in his Purusha incarnation causes the living being to be subjected to the 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generator, be pleased to decorate my statements. Purport. As a fully dependent devotee, Shukadev Goswami, unlike a mundane man who is proud of his own capability, invokes the pleasure of the personality of Godhead. So that his statements may be successful and be appreciated by the hearers. The devotee always thinks of himself as instrumental for anything successfully carried out, and he declines to take credit for anything done by himself. The godless atheist wants to take all credit for activities, not knowing that even a blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of the Supreme Spirit, the personality of Godhead. Shukadeva Goswami therefore wants to move by the direction of the Supreme Lord, who inspired Brahma to speak the Vedic wisdom. The truths described in the Vedic literatures are not theories of mundane imagination, nor are they fictitious, as the less intelligent class of men sometimes think. The Vedic truths are all perfect descriptions of the factual truth without any mistake or illusion. And Shukadeva Goswami wants to present the truth of creation not as a metaphysical theory of philosophical speculation, but as the actual facts and figures of the subject, since he would be dictated to by the Lord exactly in the same manner as Brahmaji was inspired. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord is himself the father of the Vedanta knowledge, and it is he only who knows the factual purpose of the Vedanta philosophy. So there is no greater truth than the principles of religion mentioned in the Vedas. Such Vedic knowledge, our religion, is disseminated by authorities like Shukadeva Goswami because he is a humble devotional servitor of the Lord who has no desire to become a self-appointed interpreter without authority. That is the way of explaining the Vedic knowledge, technically known as the parampara system or descending process. The intelligent man can see without mistake that any material creation, whether one's own body or a fruit or a flower, cannot beautifully grow up without the spiritual touch. The greatest intelligent man of the world or the greatest man of science can present everything very beautifully only insofar as the spirit life is there or insomuch as the spiritual touch is there. Therefore, the source of all truth is the Supreme Spirit and not gross matter as wrongly conceived by the gross materialist. We get information from the Vedic literature that the Lord himself first entered the vacuum of the material universe, and thus all things gradually developed one after another. Similarly, the Lord is situated as localized Paramatma in every individual being, hence everything is done by him very beautifully. The 16 principal creative elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, sky, and the 11 sense organs, first developed from the Lord himself and were thereby shared by the living entities. Thus, the material elements were created for the enjoyment of all living entities. The beautiful arrangement behind all material manifestation is therefore made possible by the energy of the Lord, and the individual living entities can only pray to the Lord to understand it properly. Since the Lord is the supreme entity, different from Shukadeva Goswami, the prayer can be offered to him. The Lord helps the living entity to enjoy material creation, but he is aloof from such false enjoyments. Shukadeva Goswami prays for the mercy of the Lord, not only for being helped personally in presenting the truth, but also for helping others to whom he would like to speak. So, what is the proper process for getting knowledge? Do you get it by mental speculation? This is called the Aroha Pantha process. the path of ascending knowledge. I will, by my own mental speculations, I will elevate myself. In Texas, we have a saying. It says, you cannot pick up yourself by your own bootstraps. These cowboy boots are very difficult to put on. So they have some straps on the top, and you can put little strap holders into little handles, and you put the handles in there, and then you put it on your foot, and you go, poof, you pull it up, you see. Not easy to put on like our shoes. With great endeavor, they put on their cowboy boots. So you use the bootstraps to get them on. But can you pick yourself up can you pick your bootstraps and pick yourself up in the air? Is that possible? No. You cannot pick up yourself by your own bootstraps. Similarly, the mental speculators, the jnanis, they cannot elevate themselves by their own mental speculations. The process of ascending knowledge, aroha panta, is impractical. It doesn't work. Just like, can you pick yourself up from the ocean? You're drowning in the ocean. Can I just pick myself up out of the water? No, you cannot. But if somebody else picks you up, you see, someone comes in a boat and they pull you, they can pick you up. You cannot pick yourself up out of the water, you see. But somebody else can pick you up out of the water, you see. So that is the process, that process of knowledge descending to you to pick you up, that is called the avaroha panta, the pathway of ascending knowledge, you see. The knowledge descends to you just like the hand descends from the boat to pick you out of the water. You see, that descending hand can liberate you from the ocean. But your own hands, if I'm in the water, can I pick myself out of the water? I'm drowning and I say, well, I'll pick myself out, and you can't, you see. You cannot pick yourself out of the water by your own hands when you're drowning. But somebody else in the boat with their hands, they can, you see. You cannot ascend out of the water with your hands, but someone else who has his ascending hand coming from the boat can pick you up. So our process of acquiring knowledge is called the descending process. And that means we hear from authorities. Krishna says this is true, because Krishna is the author of creation, therefore he knows what is true and what is not true. Just like there's an example given by Prabhupada in this connection. There was one drama written in Bengal, a Bengali drama, about the Muslim king, Shah Jahan, and his son, Aurangzeb. Shah Jahan was a little pious, but Aurangzeb was a complete tyrant. So Aurangzeb, he wanted to rule, so he killed his brothers and he put his father Shah Jahan in prison. So we disconnected, but you have to reconnect the term. So this drama was called Shah Jahan. So one man was wondering, because the play was all about the atrocities of Aurangzeb. There was nothing about Shah Jahan. He was hardly mentioned in the play, so why is the play named after him? So it was answered that actually he was the true hero of this play, because he was there in his prison cell in the Aurangzeb, the Agra fort. And all of these, hearing of the atrocities of his son, it was simply beating on his heart. It was torturing him to hear about what his son was doing. So he was the actual hero of the drama, even though he's not really mentioned much in the drama. So therefore I have named it after him. So if you want to know something, you go to the author. That's the person who knows, who can tell you why the play is called Shah Jahan. So if you want to know why things are going on the way they're going on, what is the actual truth, if you go to that person who's created everything, who's the source of all existence, that person can give you authoritative knowledge, you see. Now someone else may give their opinion, like, I think everything is nothing. It's like Dr. Stephen Hawking, as he says, Everything has come out of nothing. So who's more authoritative? Lord Krishna, who's actually created everything out of himself, or Dr. Stephen Hawking, who can't even speak. He has to use some computer just to talk. He can't even talk anymore. He's a paralyzed person. So who's more qualified to speak? A paralyzed so-called scientist who's simply mental speculating, or the Supreme Lord who is the source of all existence? You see, by whose potency the sun is shining right now, you see. Who's more authoritative? Oh, it disconnected again. This is a rascal thing. We have to have a decent internet connection the next time. I cannot tolerate this nonsense company. I need a decent internet. See how these poor devotees, they're all over the world trying to hear the class. Two or three times it's broken already in this class. We have to have a better thing next time. Don't give me this thing next time. I want something better next time. Again, we have to go on to get these devotees back on. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
There are 12 participants in the conference.
Okay, so just see the rascal. He said it was a fact, it wasn't a theory, but then he admitted it was actually a theory that we replaced by another theory in due course of time, and that's the progress of science. So now you see what this so-called science is. Science is the ascending method, Aroha Panta. Inductive logic. They come up with something and said, this is the absolute truth, this is the way it is, and oh, but then some new things come in. Oh, actually, you made a mistake, this is the way it is. No, we made a mistake, this is the way it is. And look at the science textbooks. They have to be, now mathematics textbooks to say the same, you see. But the science textbooks have to be rewritten every few years because the old theories are replaced by new theories, and this way they never come to any conclusion. And they say that's the way of understanding things. We have to use our, you know, our logic and our empiric observations. The difficulty is the senses are imperfect. Because your senses are imperfect, sir, therefore you have a tendency to be illusioned. And because you have a tendency to be illusioned, therefore you make one mistake after another mistake, after another mistake. In spite of all of this, you still say, I am a big learned scientist and I know what the truth is. That's called cheating, you see. So, we don't want to be misled by such so-called scientists who claim to know things as they are, who call us dogmatists. Actually, some of the scientists have a little intelligence. There's one scientist, Dr. Rupert Sheldrake. He calls it the scientific dogma. He calls the scientists as dogmatists because they blindly hold to this idea, these ideas, without any really proof. Scientific dogma, something like that is called. So dogma means to blindly accept something, you see. So these scientists, they are dogmatists. Some people label us as dogmatists, but we are not dogmatists. Even some of our devotees foolishly think that they get deviated by associating with the academics, and they foolishly think that we are dogmatists here. The fact is, we are taking knowledge from the Supreme Authority, the source of all existence, who knows things perfectly. Just like another example given is, disconnected again. So, another nice example given this connection is, how do you know who your mother is? Let's say your father. How do you know who your father is? You can do research. Well, you can go around, are you my father? Are you my father? Ask all the men in your country, are you my father? Are you my father? You see? You can spend, maybe you couldn't find anybody in this country, maybe it's some other country. You go looking all over the world, are you my father? Are you my father? Why don't you just ask your mother? She knows who your father is, you see? She can maybe say, oh, this is your father, you see? So we go to the authority. We go to Krishna or God, who's the source of all existence, and he knows everything perfectly. By taking our knowledge, by taking our guidance from him, we have perfect knowledge, and it's not dogmatic. It's not, dogma means this foolishly accept things blindly. That's called dogma, you see. But when one actually understands, intelligently, rationally understands what is actually true, you see, that is not dogma. That is absolutely not dogma. And to say that it is, that is dogmatic, you see. If one claims that this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is dogmatic, that is their dogma. You see, they are being dogmatic. Our philosophy is not at all dogmatic. This theological science is pure, absolute truth that is not dogma. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Okay, the first question is, please elaborate on proper mala chanting. Volume, loud enough so you can hear it. Speed, basically, Prabhupada said 2 hours is sufficient, so that means 7.5 minutes per round or less. Place the chant in a peaceful place. Position, sitting or walking. Sitting is ideal. If you're sleepy, get up and walk around. Stand up or walk around. Eyes closed? No. If you close your eyes, you go to sleep. Fixing of the mind on the sound vibration. Okay, my wife last time was admiring Krishna's ring on the deity. She was so attracted to it for minutes, and suddenly the ring fell from Krishna's hands. Is it inauspicious, Maharaj? Was Krishna angry? Well, you have to ask Krishna. If one is drowning in the sea, so who is really the person to get him out of the water? That is the spiritual master. He comes to rescue you from the cycle of birth and death, the ocean of birth and death. Krishna is all attractive, so only enviousness prevents us to see him, yes. Because of our envy, we cannot see Krishna. He does not reveal himself to the envious. Only to the devotees does he reveal himself. And you have to be very eager to see him. Actually, Prabhupada says, Krishna reveals himself. If you're very eager to see Krishna, he'll reveal himself. So if we're not seeing him, means we're not very eager to see him. We're afraid, if I see Krishna, he may tell me to give up all my material attachments. So I don't want to see him yet. I'm not ready. You see? Actually, if we're very eager, Krishna will reveal himself to us. Just like that boy, you know the story, that Dina Bandhu, Dada story, you know that story? Yeah, there was one, and this is in the old, ancient India, you see. In the old days, the teachers didn't get any salary. They just got, just like you get a salary from being a teacher, right? Yeah. There was no salary for, the Brahmins were teachers. And they would not get a salary. They just get charity. The students would bring them some charity. There was no salary, you see. So, the teacher, it was the annual ceremony of his father's death, and he needed some ingredients to do a ceremony for his father's death. So we asked all the students, my dear students, it's my annual father's death ceremony, what you can bring? for me to do this ceremony. And one boy said, well, I'll bring some cloth. Another boy said, I'll bring some rice. Another boy said, I'll bring this and that and this and that. And then the teacher asked this one poor boy, he said, what will you bring? He said, well, I don't know. I'll ask my mother. So he went to the mother. He said, Mother, after school that day, Mother, what can we bring? He said, my dear son, we are very poor. We cannot give anything, but Krishna, he is the friend of the fallen. He is the friend of the poor. So if Krishna gives something, then you can bring something. So he said, well, where will I find Krishna? How should I call him? So you can call him Dinabandhu, the friend of the poor. Where will I find him? He stays in the forest. So the boy went to the forest. He was calling out, Dinabandhu, Dinabandhu. Calling him Dada, brother Dinabandhu. Dinabandhu, Dada, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? So Krishna actually appeared. And he said, why you have come? He said, are you Dinabandhu? He said, yes, I'm Dinabandhu, friend of the poor. And he said, then what do you need? He says, well, my teacher wants me to bring something for the ceremony. And he said, all right, well, here's a little pot with some yogurt in it. You can take that. And so he went to the, he told the teacher, he came back with a pot of yogurt. The teacher became very angry. That's just a little bit of yogurt. We're having a big ceremony, just a little tiny bit of yogurt, like one cup of yogurt. Are you kidding? The teacher became very angry, you see. That why you bring one little, this is enough for the, that's a big ceremony. It's like, you know, you're having a big feast, 1,000 people are going to come, and you bring a little cup of yogurt for 1,000 people. He was really just angry at the boy. And then the pot dropped on the floor. It's all the yogurt spilled out. But then it filled up with yogurt immediately again. And then again dumping out, again it was full. Again dumping out, again it was full. Again dumping out, and then it's full, you see. So this is actual spiritual life, you see. Spiritual mathematics. 1 - 1 = 1, you see. In the material world, you take a cup of yogurt, you empty it out, now it's empty, there's no more yogurt, you see. But in spiritual life, you see, and there's unlimited. Krishna gave unlimited yogurt in that cup, you see. So in this way, we have to understand there's a whole other dimension of existence that's beyond our material conception. And that is to be experienced by those who actually have faith in Krishna and put themselves under the care of Krishna. If we try to just understand with our logic and our reasoning, we remain caught up in this material existence. Well, that couldn't be possible. How can you scientifically prove that you can get unlimited yogurt out of one pot? That's just a make-believe story, you see. That's what the scientists would say. That's not true. How is it scientifically possible? But Krishna can do anything. Everything that exists is happening under the potency of Krishna. Krishna can do anything and everything. So if he wants to manifest more yogurt from that pot, he can do that. You see? But Krishna is not under any rules. Everything is going under his direction. Can you please tell us something about the black holes? No, I cannot. But I know one place where there are a lot of black holes. That's in the brains of the scientists. There's tons of black holes in their brains. I'm sure there are black holes in the universe. They're found within the brains of these so-called scientists. That's where the black holes exist. Without science and research, there would be no computers, no internet, no phones, no airplanes, and so forth. Now, wait a minute. There are much better airplanes in the Vedic times. Much better airplanes. And they didn't need telephones. They could, just by their mind, they could communicate with each other. They didn't need to dial a telephone. You see, and have a bad connection on a telephone. Yeah.
But all these things came.
Huh?
But they cannot eat that.
What is it?
We cannot eat it.
Eat what?
All this telephone and technology.
Can't eat it also. But the thing is, look at Kardama Muni. He had an airplane that could fly all over outer space. And in that airplane, there was palaces and gardens. It was a whole city flying through outer space. And there was no, didn't require any fossil fuel. But that, there was no, it wasn't sucking fuel out of the earth. It didn't need any fuel. It was so powerful, it didn't even require fuel. You see? So if you want to talk about an airplane, Kardama Muni's flying city, you see? These are, with this modern technology, they haven't done anything very wonderful. These airplanes are a joke. They crash, people are killed. You have to sit in this little box in a very uncomfortable seat, you know. They strap you in, it's very uncomfortable. You know, you're crammed in with all these people. I mean, it's ridiculous. But this was a whole city where there was palaces and gardens and peacocks. A beautiful, palatial city flying throughout outer space, going through all over the universe, not just stuck on the planet Earth. That's real technology. So don't be befooled by the modern day technology. But use it for Krishna. That's all right. There's no harm we can utilize it. But just see, you talk about internet. This class is breaking again and again. You're glorifying internet. And four times this class is broken already by the internet, the rascal so-called internet. When Sanjaya was relating to Dhritarashtra what was happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it wasn't broken by an internet breaking action. He was able to, without any breaks, he could give the whole Bhagavad Gita. I can't even give one lecture on one verse without being broken by this stupid internet four times. You see? Sanjaya was able, had perfect, that was the real internet. You see? Sanjaya had the power, telepathic powers. In the previous age, they had telepathic powers. They didn't need this stupid nonsense internet that breaks again and again and again. So much endeavor for something that doesn't even work properly. You see? Any other questions? Any questions from the internet audience, if you're still there? Are you out there? And you all hearing, or are we? You're broken off again. Somebody write in if you're hearing. Type in the chat when you're actually hearing us. Okay, good. Shamakunda from South Africa. We'll see you soon, Shamakunda in South Africa. Okay, any questions from the internet crew? The internet crowd. Any questions from y'all out there on the internet? As we say in Texas. Well, there's no more questions. We can just end the class a little early today. There's no more questions. Looks like everybody's exhausted all their questions. Any questions from anyone? Speak now as forever whole. Okay, question. What is the etiquette in terms of eating or talking in front of Srila Prabhupada, Gornatire, Sri Radha Krishna? You know, you don't eat in front of the deities. You close the curtain in front of... During prasadam, we close the curtain. We don't eat in front of the deities. That's the etiquette. You don't eat in front of the deities. Now, Prabhupada, you may be able to eat in front of Prabhupada. Just like here, they close the curtain. There's no curtain for Prabhupada. In front of Prabhupada, one could eat. But not in front of Krishna. Anything else? There's nothing else. We'll stop here. And we thank you all very much for attending Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.